الرحمن الرحيم. Continuing the incident of Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who gives his personal account of the incident of the expedition of Tabuk, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sahaba underwent difficult conditions to go out for this expedition, and he himself now explains that what had happened. One lesson that, out of the many lessons that comes out from this hadith, is that the reward of being honest, the reward of being straight, the reward of coming clean, as we would say, person was very, very honest in what he said, to such an extent that even the whole incident he mentions, he's not ashamed to mention that what mistakes he made and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected it, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behaved towards it. So this is a sign where a person is genuine. Person is genuine, he's not worried what this person is going to say or that person is going to say. He's worried what Allah Ta'ala will say. How will Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feel when he gets this information, or he gets this news, or when I meet him on the day of Qiyamah, how will he feel to know that this is what I did? So a person's heart is connected with Allah Ta'ala. He's worried how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will feel when he comes to know, or when he is on the day of Qiyamah, when he meets me and he comes to know, Allah Ta'ala makes him aware of my actions, then how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feel. So this love, this yearning for the happiness of Allah Ta'ala, all the time a person is concerned that so much of effort Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, am I also taking that effort now to follow his path? He took so much of effort to show us the path, how much of effort am I making to follow the path? So anyway, moving on to the incident, he explains that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made no mention of me until he reached Tabuk. He was explaining that he was procrastinating, and that every day he was saying, the next day I'll go, the next day I'll go, following. But it would happen such that the day would come, the day would go, and he wouldn't join me. So now he's explaining that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made no mention of me until he reached Tabuk. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't ask. Now here also we understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew his satis, he knew his companions. He was alive to who was present, who wasn't present. This was a quality of a true leader. Every person was valuable to him. In the crowd, he didn't just miss anybody. He was fully aware of who and what were the conditions. And he would find out also that what is the condition of this person, what is the condition of that person. So he's explaining that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't ask about me until he reached Tabuk. Whilst he was sitting amongst the people at Tabuk, he asked, what happened to Ka'b ibn Malik? A person from the Banu Salima said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his cloak and self-conceit have kept him back. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu said, what an evil thing to say. Now one person, Nabi alayhi sallam asking about Ka'b ibn Malik, that I don't see him around. So one person made a comment that wasn't a very good comment in the crowd. So he said, no, his self-conceit, his cloak, in other words, his clothing, etc., his status, his position, all that has kept him behind. So immediately Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu corrected it. One thing we learn from here is if a person is in any gathering, and any good person's or any person's izzat or respect is being taken away, then what we should do is we defend it. Not now that we should continue speaking, but at least defend when somebody is speaking evil of a good person. So here this was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody spoke bad about him. Immediately Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu intervened, and he said, what an evil thing to say. By Allah, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know nothing but good about him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent. And look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam's beautiful qualities, that he didn't just accept what that person is saying. And when Hazrat Mu'adh also intervened, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam didn't immediately accept what he's saying. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam just remained silent. While still sitting, he saw a man in white clothing appearing like a mirage. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he seems to be Abu Khuthaymah. And it was indeed Hazrat Abu Khuthaymah al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. He was the one who had given a saw of dates in charity and whom the hypocrites had condemned. Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu anhu continues that when the news reached me that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from Tabuk, I began to get worried and I started thinking of excuses to make. I would think to myself, how am I going to escape his wrath tomorrow? And I sought advice from every knowledgeable person in my family in this regard. Now, it was worrying him, it was eating him up, as he explained in yesterday's part we did, that he would come out and he would see Medina Sharif was empty. The only person he would see there was either a hypocrite or a person who had a genuine excuse not to come out due to some weakness. So now it was eating him up, it was worried that what am I going to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That's what I'm saying, this is how a mu'min thinks, a believer thinks. But how will I face Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah? So he's saying, I sought advice from every knowledgeable person in my family in this regard. When the announcement was made, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to arrive in Madinah Sharif. All thoughts of fabricating an excuse left me, and I was convinced that I would never ever be able to escape him. I made a firm resolution to speak the truth. But although he was scared and worried how he's going to face Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I made a firm resolution. It doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to speak the truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived the next morning. It was his habit that whenever he returned from a journey, he would first go to the masjid, offer 2 rakats of salat, and sit down to meet the people. This was a beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would come back from a journey, he would stop at the masjid, showing us the importance also of the masjid, the respect that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the masjid. The first place he would stop when he returned from a journey would be the masjid. He would sit down and meet his satis and talk to his companions. When he had done so, those who had remained behind came to him, offered their excuses and took oaths before him. There were more than 80 of them. So in other words, 80 people who didn't make it, they came and they gave their excuses and they took oaths also that this is what excuse they had. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the excuses. He took the pledges of allegiance. He sought forgiveness for them and left their inner secrets to Allah Ta'ala until I came to him. So he's saying that these people came. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he accepted what they had to say. What was between them and Allah Ta'ala, he left it. He didn't question that. He accepted what they had to say. He said, until I came forward, I walked towards him and sat down in front of him. He then asked me, what kept you back? Didn't you already purchase your camel? I replied, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had I been sitting in front of anyone else besides you, I would have been able to escape his anger by offering an excuse, as I have been blessed with eloquence. But by Allah, I know for a fact that if I were to offer a false excuse to you today, by virtue of which you will be pleased with me, Allah Ta'ala will soon make you angry with me by exposing my wrong to you. And if I were to speak the truth to you, you will become angry with me, but I hope that Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with me for speaking the truth. See what the important thing he's mentioning here? That I've got the gift of speaking. I've got the gift of the gab, as we would say in English. And I can give you some excuse, making you happy and carrying on. But Allah Ta'ala won't be happy with me. This is how a Muslim thinks. What will Allah Ta'ala, will he be happy with me if I do such a thing, if I say such a thing? So this is what he's telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I can try and make you happy, but soon you will become angry with me, because Allah Ta'ala will inform you of the lies that I have spoken. But if I speak the truth today, then I hope that Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with me for speaking the truth. Then he says, by Allah, I got no excuse, or I had no excuse for remaining behind. By Allah, my situation was such that no one was stronger or more affluent than me at that time when I remained behind from you. So now this is what you call confessing. It is being extremely honest. Not only is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had no excuse. He confessed that it was the first thing he did. But he was even telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I was also in a good financial position. So in other words, I had absolutely no excuse. There was nobody in a better financial position than me to come out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this one has spoken the truth. You may go until Allah Ta'ala issues an order regarding you. Some men from the Banu Salima followed me and said, by Allah, we have not known you to commit any sin before this. You certainly failed to offer an excuse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the others have offered excuses. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's forgiveness in your favor would have been sufficient to expiate your sins. So what had happened is some of his family members came, told him, why did you speak the truth? You should have been like those other 80 people who came and they gave some excuse, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the excuse. Why did you come and give the truth? You should have also given one excuse and you would have just got away. This is what his family people now were telling him when they saw what had happened. So you're saying you certainly failed to give an excuse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the others had offered excuses. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, forgiveness in your favor would have been sufficient to expiate your sins. by Allah Ta'ala, they continued rebuking me to such an extent that I thought of returning to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and denying whatever I had said. I then asked them, has anyone else met the same fate as me? They replied, yes, two men have met the same fate as you. They said the same thing that you said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the same reply. I asked, who are they? They replied, Murara ibn al-Rabi' al-Amri and Hilal ibn Umayyah al-Waqifi radiyallahu anhuma. They were known to me to be righteous men who had participated in the Battle of Badr and who were worthy role models. After they mentioned them to me, I continued on my way. He said, they continued to rebuke me until now. I started thinking that I should go back and deny what I said. All that honesty and that confession that I make, I should go and retract it. And then when I found out, was there anybody else like me? Then I was told about these two great Sahaba. And then I knew them to be great role models. And because I knew them to be great role models, I said to myself, they are sufficient for me to follow. So here, one other thing we learn is that when we got good role models to follow, then we shouldn't worry what other people are saying. People may mock at us, may jeer at us, you're backwards, orthodox, you're behind, you're not moving with the times. We don't worry. We got this role model that we are following. We follow him and we continue. And as this incident goes, we'll see what benefit there is in following what Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. May Allah ta'ala give us also the tawfiq of making amal on these beautiful actions. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi.